HLE Radio, it is the morning show. On the phone with me, as I promised, Mr. Alec Klein. Good morning, Alec.
Hey, Hunter, please, Alec.
Okay, well,
how are you?
Alec, I'm fine, sir. It is good to talk to you, man. We've talked a little bit, but I imagine we're going to be talking a lot more here coming up, but we'll save that for a little bit later.
Sure, sounds good to me.
I don't know. Are you normally up this early, or is this a little bit later?
Oh,
for
gosh.
You?
I'm up even earlier. I wish I could sleep in. I can't do it even when I try.
I understand, man. I'm an early riser myself. And,
yeah.
Man, first of all, I appreciate you.
I don't need.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I don't even need an alarm clock anymore.
Yeah, that's myself.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, first of all, for calling in and doing this interview, man. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Hunter, it's an honor to be talking with you. I love what you do.
And I didn't, I went and perused a little bit. Normally, the way I do my interviews is I don't like to research a whole bunch, and I know that's not the norm. I just like to find out. I like to do it on the cuff and just find out everything myself. But
sure.
This time, when I'm interviewing someone who is an interviewer, like MJ, who we both know and have in common,
love her.
Yeah, and she knows how to interview. And
you
are a world-class interviewer as well. So this is actually, if you wanted to, you could actually reverse this on me. And while I was interviewing you, you could actually be interviewing me. And I know this, so I'm going to be very cautious in what I do here today.
No. I've heard you talk with others, and you're terrific, and you're too kind. So, thank you for saying that. But I'm just thrilled to be here with you.
Well, man, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to preface a little bit here, man, because you've had an extraordinary journey, and I don't want to get in too much of the political stuff about this. I know we got to reference it, man, but I'm more concerned or more interested in that faith journey that you found. And I do know from talking to you, and we haven't talked all that much, but the time I have talked to you, I do know that your faith is real and the Holy Spirit is real to you, man. That's where it's at, brother. Ooh. That's
what it's all about, right?
Amen, man. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, I'm going to let you take it from here, man, and preface just where you came and how you got here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, on the question of faith and my journey, I got to tell you, Hunter, I was probably the least likely person to even come to faith, if you will. I grew up in New York City, and I frankly didn't believe in anything.
Right.
It was actually, really one of the greatest fears I had was the idea that there was nothing, and it used to really plague me and keep me up at night thinking about that.
Wow.
But so, I wish I had grown up with faith from the very beginning. I didn't know what I was missing for all this time, but it happened when it was supposed to happen.
So, Alec,
I was
Let me stop you right there. So you just said that you always wondered. So there was always, if I'm understanding right, there was always that void there, even though you didn't know what that void was.
Oh gosh, I'd go further than that, Hunter, and say that I think God was trying to reach me, and I just didn't even know it.
Wow.
And I wasn't paying attention. I mean, heck, just to give you one example, I wrote a play called The Carpenter Who Wouldn't Leave.
Oh.
And I when I wrote the play, it was staged in Washington, D.C., back when I was an investigative reporter at the Washington Post. It was around 2000, 2001 or two. But, when I wrote the play and called it The Carpenter Who Wouldn't Leave, I didn't believe in anything. And, I mean, even beyond that, Hunter, I used to travel around the country giving talks about my work as an investigative reporter. And I didn't even realize when I was doing that, that what I talked about in some ways was an echo of some of the things I learned later about Jesus from reading the Gospels, which was about compassion and forgiveness and love and all these things that, as an investigative reporter, I was trying to impart to those who were listening to me. And I didn't even know that that was connected. So I think it was always there, and I just, my eyes were not open for so, so long, even though there was, I'd almost call it a yearning right. for something beyond myself, which I think we all feel inside of us.
Absolutely.
You know,
we're
and I just, like I said, I just didn't believe in anything. I thought it was all on me. And, you know, that's the way I lived for so long. You know, but look, you know, we're all on a different journey here. And that was where I was coming from. You know, in my world as an investigative reporter, it's all about confirmation. It's all about facts. It's all about, you know, what you can see and hear
right,
and touch.
Right.
And, you know, and that's, as you know, to some degree, far removed from the world of faith.
Yes.
And yet, I got to tell you, as I began to read books about Jesus, and I've read many uh-huh. over the years, it's amazing, actually, how much actual evidence there is if people really want to see it, if they want to read it and, right. You know, document it. I mean, you know, frankly, even the Gospels themselves are written by those who are saying, look, these are the eyewitnesses.
Right.
Paul, you know, said, hey, there were 500 people, go talk to them, you know,
right.
who saw Jesus after the resurrection. I mean, you know, how do you say that unless it's true?
Right.
I mean, there, you know, not to mention, you know, Peter and Paul, I mean, their stories were those of people who were fallible, who did things that, frankly, were kind of embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, frankly, that sounds pretty true to me. You know, it's not like they were trying to make it into this heroic story that they stood up for Jesus. They didn't.
Right.
They abandoned him.
Right.
But anyway, so there's all sorts of proof out there that if you're looking for, it's there. But for so much of my life, I hadn't even thought about it actively.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm thankful, of course, that I finally did because it changed everything for me. But in my mind, it's something that, you know, all of us should be coming to. You know, I don't know about you, but so much of the world, I think, is actually sort of shut off from faith today. It's almost as if, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, you know, they don't open the Bible. I read the Bible virtually every day.
Mm-hmm.
I read devotionals, but, you know, people don't do that anymore. They don't go to church.
Mm-mm.
It's, you know, been pushed out of public life,
right.
been pushed out of the schools, been
yeah.
pushed out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think we need it now more than ever.
It's, we do.
It's,
absolutely.
Especially right now, you know?
Right. Now, Alec, the finding that faith so strong in Christ, there was a particular incident that probably spurred
yeah.
that on more than anything, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'd say, Hunter, it happened in two parts.
Okay.
So the first part, just in brief, was that I was investigating a wrongful conviction in Oklahoma, and I was talking to a colleague, and I said something like, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And he handed me a book, which was Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. And this was a good friend of mine. And when he gave me the book, I you know, just to be perfectly frank, I had no intention of reading it, because when I saw the title, Case for Christ, I was like, gosh, you know, I mean, this is a myth. I'm not going to read this. But, you know, I'm an author, Hunter, and so I like to read, you know, how people begin their stories
sure.
to understand how they work their craft, if you will. So I, you know, I opened the first page of the book, The Case for Christ, and I kid you not, the beginning of the book is about how Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter, which is what I was and am.
Mm-hmm.
He was investigating a wrongful conviction, which is what I do.
Right.
And he was doing it from the Chicago area, which is where I am. So this was literally the beginning of his book, The Case for Christ, and it really caught my attention. I thought, gosh, maybe I should read the book. And I read the whole book cover to cover. And it was actually pretty remarkable because he did an incredible job for skeptics like me, you know, who want proof, because he actually showed that there was proof about Jesus. And I had always thought it was a myth. And then I was like, gosh, it's not a myth. And so the other thing was he was referring to another book, which was, of course, the Bible. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I ought to take a look at the Bible, which I had never done before, you know. So I opened the Bible. I got a copy of, you know, the Bible, and I turned to the Gospels, and that blew my mind. And from that point on, I started to share these stories with my children. But just, and then the second part of my faith journey was a few years later, a couple of years later, I was at the time running a center at a university where we investigated wrongful convictions and false accusations. That was sort of the focus of the center. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I found myself on the other side where I myself was falsely accused of misconduct as a professor. And my life was instantly and utterly destroyed, literally in a flash. I won't go into great detail, but the short version is that some of my students and staffers accused me of mistreating them. Mm-hmm. And this was put out in the media, though, in a very inflammatory and wildly false way. And I would just say that it was really, you know, shocking, because the ringleader of the attack that was put forward in the media was a former employee whom I had actually let go. Mm-hmm. And the accusations in the media make it sound like there were all sorts of sorted things, but in fact, none of the complaints that were filed at the university had anything to do with any kind of sexual interaction. There was none of that. In fact, the complaints, which didn't come out at the time, were a hodgepodge of things. You know, students were complaining about their grades. Actually, mm-hmm. some of the complaints were about their grades. You know, they wanted an A minus instead of a B plus, or they didn't like the chair that they sat in my office. They said it was slightly lower to the ground. It was actually a futon chair for my small children, but they complained to the university saying that there was some sort of power differential. That was the term they used in terms of the chair that they sat in compared to my chair. There were all sorts of other complaints like that. But anyway, in the midst of all of this, as I was utterly destroyed, my career was just blown up. My family was suffering. Hunter, there's no way to put it. I was in utter anguish, and I had my face right in the rug of the dining room. I was taking prescription medication to deal with this, and I was also drinking alcohol. I think I was frankly hoping it would just end, and I wanted my life to be over. But in that time, the strangest thing that happened, Hunter, was that I couldn't really focus on anything. I mean, in other words, you know, imagine you open a book and you can't read the words on the page. That was sort of what was happening. Mm-hmm. Or you turn on the TV, but you can't really follow the storyline. That was what was happening to me. But the one thing that I found myself able to do was to read books about Jesus. And I can't tell you why, but I would order them almost, you know, one after another, not every single day, but almost every other day, kind of, you know. And I was reading these books, and I don't know, I can't really tell you why that was the one thing I could focus on, but it was. And it brought me, it began to bring me peace. And then the other thing that happened at the same time is I was hearing from friends far and wide from all over the country, and they were asking if I was okay and so forth. And what struck me, Hunter, was that virtually every single one of my friends who reached out to me happened to be followers of Jesus. And I don't know if I knew that before.
Wow.
But it became so obvious in the moment that, wait a minute, literally from coast to coast, the people who were contacting me were followers of Jesus. And it actually made me feel that I was almost encircled by followers of Jesus, and that really caught my attention. And I think, you know, that also hastened my, you know, sort of thirst for knowledge of Jesus and for understanding about the Gospels. And that really set me on my way. And, you know, so that's the, I'm sorry for going on, but that's kind of the story, if you will. I mean, ever since I, you know, I've sort of tried to devote my life to be a servant of God, because I think that that's what it's all about.
Now, I want to go back a little bit, because when you were, when all this blew up, man, we're not talking about just the local newspaper or just the local town. This stuff made big news.
Yeah, you got run with this. Exactly, Hunter. I mean, it was,
we're talking about the Me Too movement in this day and age.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Right, we're talking about the Me Too movement when all this was going on.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, Hunter, I think that the Me Too movement has a good core to it, which is that, you know, in my opinion, women over the centuries have been mistreated. But I do think that in some ways, the movement has gone too far in some instances where, you know, people have been falsely accused and their lives have been destroyed. And one of the aspects of the movement that I was troubled by, and that should be troubling, I think, to all of us, is the idea that whatever they say must be true. That was sort of part of the mantra,
right,
that because they're saying it must be true. But what that means, Hunter, is that literally, you know, the accusation itself equals guilt. But that is, you know, frankly, turning over the entire point of the American system, right? Which is that you are innocent until proven guilty. But the way that this works now, it's basically, you know, trial by media, guilt by accusation. And this could happen to anybody. It's not even a gender issue, if I might. I would say that it affects all of us. And frankly, I'm most concerned about our children because, as you know, kids nowadays, they all have their smartphones.
Right.
And basically, if you have a smartphone, you're a publisher. Mm-hmm. You can just push that button and it goes out to the internet. And that's all it takes. You know, you don't need the big delivery trucks and the newsstands and all that. That's, you know, kind of 20th century. We're in the 21st century where anybody's a publisher and anybody can say anything about anybody else, attacking them for virtually anything or nothing. And as you know, it's kind of part of this broader cancel culture that's going on in our world today, where people, when they're angry, you know, they go on social media and they gang up on somebody and they make sort of these accusations, and you know, who knows if it's true, but it doesn't matter in that world. You know, the person is utterly destroyed almost instantly, and that's the end of it. You know, I mean, frankly, I think of, you know,
well, once
the Salem witch trials or you know, McCarthyism, which is, you know, I'm sure they thought that that was perfectly sane when it was happening, but obviously, in retrospect, when we look back on it, you know, people being accused of these things without evidence or proof is really problematic.
Right. Well, you know, and once it's seen, you can't unsee it. So once out there, you know, it's there, whether it's, I mean, it's just, you've seen it. And, you know, one thing I've always, and my wife has practiced this with me, I've never been, you know, I'll never be in a room alone with a young girl or a woman or anything like that. Just because of all that, man, I don't want there to be because, you know, little girls and big girls can lie. And I don't want to take that chance, man.
It's crazy that we live in a world where that's a concern. I actually remember reading some stories about this at the height of this sort of, you know, craziness, where some men were installing cameras in their apartments so that there was proof that they didn't do anything, you know, that they were, you know, essentially above board in their behavior. But it's just, you know, it's just a sad state of affairs that, you know, we're all afraid about, you know, speaking our mind or being in this particular public setting. You know, it's just the world we live in today. Yeah. And, you know, it's in my mind, a real shame that, that's going on, you know. And yet, I have to say, Hunter, in some ways, I'm thankful, because had it not been for the destruction, the utter destruction of my life, I wouldn't be talking to you right now about my faith.
Well, that's where I was getting ready to go, man. Had it not been for that, then we wouldn't be where we are now with this, which is a much, much better story, man, because Like I said, your outlook, your faith, I can feel, even though we've never met person to person, I can just sense the drive and the love that you have for Christ, just by talking to you, man. And it shows.
Oh, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And I was actually thinking about, you know, even Jesus talked about, look, this is not going to be easy, right? He said that. It's not going to be easy when you follow me. So it's not supposed to be easy. And I got to say, Hunter, you know, we are all going to face pain and suffering in our lives. It's just part of the deal, right?
Right.
And if that's the case, you know, in my mind, it's almost a question of, well, okay, how are we going to respond to that? And for me, my faith has helped to bring peace. And it's sort of changed the way I look at the world, really. I mean, it's almost like, you know, opening my eyes for the first time.
Right.
I am thankful for that. And I'm on a different path now. And I'm frankly grateful for that. You know, I think that, you know, when you think of all the hate and vitriol out there right now, I mean, there's a lot of it, you know. It's just, we live in a particularly, I think, crazy time with all the sort of turmoil in the world. And so if anything, I think we need more faith now more than ever.
Right.
And we need to be talking about it and not sort of shoving it into the corner. You know, it should be front and center in all of our lives. So, you know, frankly, I shouldn't even be complaining about any of the things that happened to me. I spend a great deal of my life, helping prisoners around the country who, talk about suffering.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what they did perhaps was right, but in some cases they were either wrongfully convicted. In other cases, they've been excessively sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to them and they've been inside for, you know, 30 years and they're in for life without parole, and, you know, even in those instances, it's amazing how often I find faith keeps them going. You know, in that Jesus is actually right there with them in the prisons and sustaining them and changing people's spirit, their souls. And I think it's, I've seen some real great beauty in that kind of faith, on the inside. Oh, wow. So,
well, there's some testimonials on your website of those, of some of those folks. They've written on. People can go read that. Now, you have a book also. I want to make sure that people know that you have a book out as well.
Well, that's kind of you to say, Hunter. Yeah, the book is called Aftermath, When It Felt Like Life Was Over. I wasn't planning to write a book. I mean, I've written other books, you know, before, but in the midst of my own sort of suffering and destruction, I was having trouble sleeping. And I, you know, woke up at, I don't know, 4 something in the morning. And after I took the dog for a walk, I sat at my desk in front of my laptop because I'm a writer, you know, and I started just writing really to myself, I guess maybe to try to make sense of all the craziness. And day after day, I sat back at the laptop and I kept writing and writing and writing. And the thing is that I it sort of dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute, this is a, maybe this is actually a story about what had happened. But even more than that, it was a story about my journey to faith, which I didn't even intend. I don't know how it just sort of happened. I mean, you know, and the weird thing about the whole writing experience was, you know, it's hard to write a book. And I've always, when I've written other things, you know, you go through periods when you're struggling with it, but I did not have a single day of struggle when I wrote this. It just sort of came out. And to a large degree, it really is basically my journey to faith. And I hope that it could be an encouragement to other people, frankly, because, you know, look, I mean, I know other people have suffered much more than I ever have. And I'm constantly reminded about how there's an opportunity, you know, for people to have a second chance. If you think about it, you know, it's also in the Bible that none of us are to be thrown away. You know,
right.
I remember, I think somewhere Jesus talked about like every hair on your head is counted, you know, that we all count. And that, you know, I hope that in the book that I wrote Aftermath, that there's some inspiration for others to kind of work through their own anguish and suffering and to find a path forward, you know. So, but now, anyway, so that's been my journey.
Right. Now, one thing I'm excited about, too, is you're going to have a show here coming up October 6th right here on HLE Radio. And at 9
o'clock. Oh, gosh, I am so excited about that.
On Tuesday night, starting at 9 o'clock.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, Hunter, I'm so thankful and grateful about this show. I'm calling it About Faith, and it's a half-hour show on Tuesdays and Sundays. And it's basically where I'm talking to ordinary but extraordinary people from around the world, around the country, about their journeys to faith. And I've already talked to a number of people about their stories, and I can't wait for people to hear this because these stories are unbelievable. I actually have been brought to tears myself as they're talking about, you know, their incredible sort of suffering, but then how they've been redeemed. Mm-hmm. Through their faith. And I've been so kind of just blown away by these beautiful stories. And so I'm just honored that, you know, I'll have an opportunity to air this show About Faith on your network, Hunter, the HLE Radio Network. I think I hope it's inspiring for people, because I think that's really what I'm getting out of it, which is, gosh, these stories are so great that I almost like just want to stay out of people's way, you know, let them, you know, just hear their story about how they sort of navigated the struggles.
Right.
And then came to the other side. And anyway, so I'm so excited about it. And as I said, the stories are unbelievable. So it's coming soon, I think, as you said, October 6th.
And, yeah. Yeah,
I'm really excited about it. So thank you. Yes.
Yeah, me too, man. That's what we need, some encouragement for some folks, man. And that's what those faith stories will do. It will encourage folks and build their faith up. And that'll be a great thing for all.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. That's what it's all about, you know, baptizing all nations. Right.
Yeah.
So but, you know, when the show comes out, I'm hoping to hear from listeners as well to, you know, reach out if they have wonderful stories that they'd like to share as well. But it's really amazing how many great stories there are out there among people all over the place who've been through these horrific, terrible ordeals, and yet somehow, you know, through their faith, they've been able to get through it, find redemption, find peace. And anyway, it's been, you know, I just think it's something that'd be hopefully aspirational for all the listeners. So About Faith, that's what I'm calling it. So I'm looking forward to it, and I just
awesome.
So grateful, Hunter.
I like the title of the show.
thank you.
Yeah. Now, Alec, before I let you go, man, let everyone know how they can get in touch with you if they need to, and where they can get the book and all that great stuff.
Well, thank you, Hunter. I mean, I appreciate that. First is, I love to hear from listeners, and they can find me on my website, actually, which is alekklein.net. It's alekklein.net, N-E-T. If they go to the website, there's contact there, and I do my very best to respond to everybody who reaches out. And as far as the book, Aftermath, it's available through all the regular channels, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere. And, you know, I hope it's useful for others, and so they can check it out. But frankly, I'm looking forward to hearing from people. I'm thrilled to be launching this show for you on the HLE Radio Network About Faith on October 6th. On Tuesday, I think it's 9 p.m. Central, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
On October 6th.
Absolutely.
And Sunday at, I believe, at 5 p.m. Central when it's replayed. So
that's correct.
But again, I'm just so excited to tell other people's story, frankly. yeah. So please, I hope people reach out, and I hope they're supporting your incredible HLE radio network, all the wonderful things that you do with it. And I mean, frankly, that's an aspirational and inspirational thing for all listeners, I think. So I love what you do, and, you know, I'm just grateful that hopefully I'll, you know, be able to contribute.
Yeah, I know you will, man. I look forward to it. Alec, I want to thank you again, man. I so appreciate your story. Love your faith. Man, I love your love for Jesus Christ, dude, and I look forward to us doing some great things together, man.
Hunter, that means a great deal to me. Well, that's what it's all about, you know. So I'm so grateful and thankful, and I love what you do, and you'll be hearing from me soon.
All right, brother, you be blessed. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks so much.
All right. That is Alec Klein right there. Make sure and check him out, alecklein.net.